先做一个祷告。
Let's pray first.
天父上帝，谢谢你给我们这个时间。
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time.
我们可以一起来思想、这个丝绸之路。
That we can meditate on the Silk Road.
这一条路曾经就是在、世界上已经、有很大的作用，超过2000年的时间。
For more than 2,000 years, this road has a significant impact on the, in the world.
我们也相信神你自己要透过、这一条路可以做一些来扩张神你自己国度的事情。
And I believe God will use this road to enlarge your kingdom.
求主你带领我们今天下午这段时间。
And may God lead our time today.
我们这样感谢祷告奉主的名。
And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.首先就是有一个、大概的 讲义。
We have a handout, but it's all in Chinese. 有 English 吗？
没有。但是我如果谁喜欢英文的，我有一份，不是一份的，就是说 website 上面的印出来的。
For those who want the English version, the pastor can give you later. It's from.
Okay.All right. 我们这一次的拆船年会、决定说希望就是、希望介绍一下丝绸之路。
During this commission conference, we'd like to introduce about the Silk Road.
那么我们不单是希望说介绍一些，我也希望教会更多的弟兄姐妹开始围着这有关的事情祷告。
Not just introduce, but we also want brother and sister to pray for this.
因为我们拆船年会开了13次，现在是第14次。
This is our 14th mission conference.
我们过去拆船的施工比较多，都是有人路过这里，那么去做宣教士，我们就支持他们。
In the past, our mission activities mostly supporting those missionaries that pass through.Colombia, like they go to study at UCIU.
我们心里面很盼望我们自己教会当中有人愿意起来做宣教士。
We are so eager to have developed missionaries from our own church.
那么丝绸之路的分享呢，其中一个祷告是、希望说我们当中可能是可以从短宣开始。
And this serial presentation prayers is so that we can start from ourselves, maybe starting from short-term mission, that we can send our missionaries.
那么教会也在三年四年前就是决定要参与把福音传回耶路撒冷这个施工。
About 2-3 years ago, our church deacon board decided to support the Back to Jerusalem movement.
那么这个丝绸之路呢，在路上有很多很多的回教徒，有很多印度教徒，他们需要福音。
On this Silk Road, there are many, many Muslims and Hindus, Hindis, and they need the gospel.
所以呢，我们希望就是跟大家介绍一下。
So I'd like to introduce you about this road.
那么介绍之后呢，如果你们有兴趣。我们以后可能就会集合一下，一起来祷告，看看有没有可能在明年的时候有一个短宣队。
So after the introduction, we may gather together to pray to see we can send a short-term mission group to the Silk Road.
如果我们要去的话，我们要做很多功课。
If we have to go, we have to do a lot of homework ahead.
所以呢，就是今天我们在这里介绍的时候，首先我们先看一些的。就十多张的一个 slide 照片。
Before we start our introduction, we'd like to watch some slides about the Silk Road.
那么这个 Silk Road 在中国是从早期的名字叫长安，现在的名字叫西安开始的。
The Silk Road start from the city 长安 the today's Xi'an city.
所以这个是从西安出发。
This group started out from Xi'an.
我们看下一张，所以呢，你看现在是用飞机还是巴士哈？
Today we'll travel by bus or by air.
那么早期的人都是骑马、走路、骆驼之类的，所以从西安开始。
Yeah, and in the past, the people walk or they ride on horses and started from Xi'an.
西安，然后兰州，然后一直向着青海，向着新疆那个方向走。
So starting from Xi'an, they go towards Qinghai and the Xinjiang province.
那么我们一直走到中国的西部，就是喀什那个城市。然后就出边界，你知道，发现到他们不是一条路的哈，是很多条路的。
Actually, they start from Xi'an and go to Kashi, city in Xinjiang, and then you can see there are different routes, not just one route.
那么早期的时候都是用陆地的，就是这个比较黑线或者红线。
So in the begin, at the very first, they used the routes on land as the black or the red.
那么到后期的时候，特别是阿拉伯人开始向着东走的时候，他们都用海路了。
Later, especially the Arabians, when they went to the east, they traveled by sea.
那么好，我们再看，在这个丝绸之路上面，一出西安不久的时候呢，就很快就遇到这个第一个沙漠。
When you start off from Xi'an, very soon you'll see a desert.
那么这个沙漠在中国来讲说是比较不像另外一个沙漠那么危险。这个是在蒙古跟就是中国在边界那个地方，就 Gobi Desert.
This is the Gobi Desert between Mongolia and China.
再看。那么这个骆驼是其中一个很主要的一个就是。就是当时的交通工具。
Camel is a major transportation means at that time.
那么你一路走的时候呢，你就会发现到，这个在路上的时候选择不多，因为呢越向西走呢，那个路就开始很多山，或者说如果有一些比较稍微平一点，就沙漠。
So when the roads are not that easy because there are many mountains and deserts.
那么这个比较近沙漠的地方就时常就是有很多动物，类似牛羊之类。
The land close to the desert usually see a lot of animals like cows and camels.
Okay, 再下一个。那么在路上的时候，你会发现除了汉族，那么有不同的这个少数民族。
And on this road, you can see many Han people and also a lot of minorities.
右边这个是 Aiden Carrier 的朋友。好，提醒，不是真的。okay, yeah, okay, 再下一个。好，这些就是少数民族。那么其实到中国西北去的时候，我们汉族是少数民族啊，这些。当地的维吾尔族或者回族，他们才是大部分的人口。
When we go to the northwestern part of China, Han become the minorities. The majority are like these people, like the what are these? The people in Xinjiang.
Yeah,
Uyghurs.
The Uyghurs. 好，再下一张。那么在这个万里长城跟 Silk Road 万里长城建造的原因。跟过程跟 Silk Road 的发展有很大的关系。
The building of the Great Wall actually is closely related to the development of the Silk Road.
那么万里长城有几段是独立的，不是说所有都连在一起的。
Actually, part of the Great Wall are not linked together.
那么他们是有历史原因的。
For historical reasons.
好，再下一个。那么在就是公元大概第三、第四世纪的时候，就有很多开始跑，就是造就这个丝绸之路去印度去那个方向。他们回来之后呢，就把这个佛教带回来了。
When people travel on the Silk Road from east to west, and they brought back Buddhism to China.
那么所以呢这个有一个很大很大的这个神庙是在西安。
There's a big temple in Xi'an.
就是它的这个佛像。
It's a big Buddha statue.
那么在中国这个出了这个中国新疆的边界，你如果向阿富汗的方向走，很多很多那个山上都有 这些菩萨这个偶像的雕刻。
Actually, when you walk out from Xinjiang towards Afghanistan, you see there are lots of statues on the mountains.
几年前这个阿富汗这个塔利班就是这个神学士，他们把这些的这个佛像炸掉的时候，引起整个世界的轰动。
You know, years ago, when the Taliban in Afghanistan, they bomb and destroy all the Buddha statues, and they create a lot of discussions in the world.
那么就是在路上的时候呢，有很多很多的回教徒。
That's actually on this road, there are many, many Muslims.
在我讲义的第二页那边说得到回教徒那一边呢，从这个Back to Jerusalem 那一本书 Paul Hathaway 他提到说把福音传回耶路撒冷，如果我们一直就是传到北非或者欧洲去的话，回教的国家一共有39个。
According to the book printed by Back to Jerusalem, they mention when you want to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem, on the way you will encounter 39 Muslim countries.
所以这个是很主要的，就是说要把福音传回耶路撒冷，又从这个丝绸之路走的话，回教的施工是一个免不了的一个问题。
So if you want to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem, the Muslim outreach is inevitable.
那么这个就是在中国丝绸之路上面的其中一个回教堂。
I can see this is a Muslim mosque on the Silk Road.
Okay, 应该这个是最后一个了哈。好，我等一下还有一段是就是在青海，他们拍的这个月拍的就是因为是 Ramadan， 就是回教徒禁食月，所以呢，等一下有一段是 video 的。
And later, I will show you a video about the Ramadan.
那么首先呢，让大家知道一下，就是在丝绸之路呢，我们就说，如果你一直要推前面的话，就不知道到几时去了。
When you talk about the Silk Road, when you try to trace the history, you don't know where to start.
比较明显的在历史上面的记载，就是在希腊帝国亚历山大开始。
One of the historical background is they said that it started at the time around Alexander the Great.
那么那个时候的世界比较发达的地方，在中东，在北非，那么在东欧的一些地方。
Around that time, the most prosperous countries around the Middle East and North Africa.
其中比较集中的文化的发展的中心是在波斯，就现在的伊朗那一带。
And the major cultural centers in Persia is today's Iran.
很古老很古老的地方。
It's old cities.
那么亚历山大大概在公元前330年，他就是向东就是侵略的时候呢，他打败很多地方。
In 330 BC, Alexander, when he moved to the east, he conquered a lot of countries.
在历史上说，他的军队到了喜马拉雅山。
The history tells us that when his army went to the Himalayas.
那么很多的历史家一直在查，到底那个亚历山大的军队有没有到西安。
And they try to find out had the army been ever to Xi'an of China.
但是问题是亚历山大他自己本身最高峰的时间很短，才5年多时间。
Actually, the peak of Alexander's career is around 5 years.
所以呢，你会发现到就是亚历山大这个希腊的文化一直到了就是到这个印度的这个方向来就有很大的影响力。
We can see today, we can see in the history that the impact of Greek culture has a great influence in India.
所以那个丝绸之路如果从西走的话，亚历山大从希腊那么一直跑向这个印度的方向。
The Silk Road, if it runs from Greece to India.
但是呢，从中国的方向走的呢，就是主要是从秦始皇开始。
But this is the route starting from the west. But in China, the road start around about the Qing Dynasty.
那也是差不多在公元前300多年。
It's also around the time 300 BC.
那秦始皇他要统一中国。
The 秦始皇帝 he wanted to unite China.
就立都在长安，就现在的西安。
So he made Xi'an his capital.
那么他主要建长城是因为要抵抗匈奴。
The reason for him to build a great wall is to give protection against the Huns.
那么到了公元前138年的时候，这个汉武帝就差派了，就是这个我这个中文翻译不准，可能呢，英文是你们怎么读？
张强
还是谦？
谦
哈。
对。
OK， 好。那么汉武帝派这一个人呢，有一个很主要的原因。
In 138 BC, the Han Emperor sent a general.
因为当时的匈奴在北部，跟这个中国就是打仗。
Because the Huns are in the north and they have got into war with the Chinese.
这个皇帝呢，知道有一个很强的民族，以前跟匈奴打仗，他们后来退到就是在现在新疆跟印度这个中间的山区去了。
The king realized there was a very strong tribe that went to war with the Huns before, but they later retreat to the mountainside.
所以呢，这个中国的皇帝就派了张骞，那么带了一般的人马，就去找这个民族，希望他们能够联合起来来对付这个匈奴。
So this Chinese emperor sent out General Zhang Qian to the west to look for this tribe so they can be united to fight against the Huns.
那么张骞就试了几次都不成功。
But Zhang Qian tried many times, but he didn't succeed.
但是每一次回来的时候呢，都把一些很就是中国里面很少有的东西带回来。
But every time he came back, he brought them a lot of things that is not common in China.
那么比如说带回的一些的马的品种是非常好的马。
For example, he bring up some special races of horse.
艺术品。
Some artwork.
很贵重的东西送给皇帝。
A lot of precious things, just a gift to the king.
所以呢，就张骞就来来回回就跑了好几趟这些的路。
So Zhang Qian went back and forth east and west for many times.
那么根据很不少的人也开始说啊，那边东西很好，就开始做小生意。那么就跑一十里路、两百里路，那么来回就开始做生意。
And people seeing these things are good, so they start to do business. So they also travel along this road.
那么历史的记载呢，说罗马帝国开始的时候，到罗马那边已经有一些中国事物。
So you know, according to history, around the Roman Empire's time, they already have recorded this Silk Road to China.
就是说，罗马人在罗马能够买到一些中国的食物，这个是很特别的。
That means the people in the Roman Empire they can purchase some Chinese food.
那么其中一样东西呢，他们也不是在罗马买到，就是罗马军队向东来打仗的时候。他们在打一个民族，这个中文我不知道怎么翻译，因为我的资料是英文的，就 Parthians, P-A-R-T-H-I-A-N, 这个民族，他罗马军队打他们的时候，打完之后呢，罗马就发现他们当中有一样很特别的东西。
Later the Romans got into war with the Parthians, and they find out there's something special.
在这个民族当中有一种布料是很特别，在欧洲从来没有看过的。
They find a special kind of cloth that is so special they never seen it before.
那么后来才知道这个丝布。
And that kind of fiber is silk.
然后他们就问说这个东西到底什么地方来的。
So they asked where did this silk came from?
那没有人知道从什么地方来。
And no one knew where it came from.
在丝绸之路你知道路很长的。
You know the Silk Road was very long.
而且呢，每一个地方每一段路都是有不同的民族。
Actually, in a different section of this road, they live different kinds of people.
所以呢，你如果离开你自己认识的区太远的话，是很危险的。
If you went out to a land that's far away and not familiar to you, it's very dangerous.
所以丝绸之路的人很多都是走一段路，那么做买卖就回到自己地方。
Usually the people get on the Silk Road, they do the business and then went back home right away.
所以呢，这个到底这个丝是从什么地方来，罗马人也没有办法知道。
So the Romans could not find out where did the silk came from.
但是因为 Parthian 人呢，他发现呢，原来罗马人可以出高价买丝啊，所以他们就跑远一点。
later the Parthians find out that the Romans are willing to pay a high price for the silk, so they're willing to go further to look for the silk.
他们到最后的时候跑到中国的边界去买了。
So late, and they went to the border of China to buy the silk.
那么这一条路呢，就在当时来讲，就2000年前来讲，这条路是非常忙碌的。
So 2000 years ago, this road is a very busy.
那么这一条路呢，就成为啊很多。就是君王啊商人啊都参与来就在这条路上面
了。So、a lot of people, the kings and the general also travel on this road.
因为从政治的原因他们联合不同的民族来敌、啊、就是对抗其他的民族。
Politically speaking, they unite other nations to fight against one another.
那么很多的人就拿了很美的东西回去献祭给皇帝，那么他们得到机会升官。
So a lot of people brought a precious thing back to the home country, they give it to the king so that they can get promotions.
然后有很多生意上面的好处。
So there are a lot of business benefits.
但是这条路人多的时候呢就开始出问题了。
Because too many people travel on this road, then problems came.
那有一些不肯做工，只想贪小便宜的，就在路上等着你们来了。
So there's a lot of people they want to get benefit of. They waited for people travel on this road.
所以呢，你如果赚很多钱回来的时候呢，他们就是说跟你讲说五十五十分，不然的话不给你过。
If you make a lot of money when you travel on this road, these robbers will come out and they want to share your profits.
所以呢，有一些生意人、有钱的人、生意的人就开始请保镖。
So these people get bodyguards to protect them.
那中国方面呢，一连几个朝代下来的皇帝，都就是想办法怎么样来保护啊这些商人、这些自己的人。
So the many emperors in the Chinese history, they try to protect these businessmen who travel on the Silk Road.
所以呢，就在当中就啊分段又起了一些的啊这个 Great Wall, 就是墙来保护。
So that they build build sections of the Great Wall to protect the road.
那么讲到这里的时候呢，我们就发现就是说。在当时来讲，在西方人来讲，他们最喜欢的一个产品就是丝绸，所以呢，后来这条路变成丝绸之路。
The Western people, their favorite products is the silk. That's why they call this road the Silk Road.
因为并不是因为这条路只卖这个丝绸的哈。
Doesn't mean that this road is only for the trade of silk.
那么在宗教方面呢，就是到了这个公元差不多第七世纪这段时间，很多人都来来回回这个印度。
Around the time to the second to the seventh century, many people went to India.
那么比较安定的一个王朝就是唐朝的时候。
Around the time of Tang Dynasty,
就出现了这个《西游记》。
There is a famous legend called the Travel to the West.
Yeah, Journey to the West.
Journey to the West.
Yes. Okay. 那么你知道《西游记》他走的路，唐僧走的路是怎么走呢
？Do you know how that the monk traveled on this road to the West?
他也是差不多在西安那个方向出发。
He also started from Xi'an.
稍微就是西，然后偏向北。
So he went to the northwest of on this road.
经过兰州、敦煌。
And he went past Lanzhou, 敦煌.
就在两个大沙漠之间，他切上去到了哈密那带地方。
And then he went through the two deserts up to Hami.
那么哈密，吐鲁峰跟那个乌鲁木齐是很特别的一条路。
The route to Hami and Kurumuchi is a very special.
我走那条路的时候，我心里面很大的感受。
The past have been traveled on this road before.
因为火车从乌鲁木齐出发向哈密的方向走八个小时。
It takes about eight hours on train to get from Kurumuchi to Hami.
然后你看左边的时候，就是山。
On your west, on your left, you see the mountains.
那个是天山。
That is天山
我去的时候是五月尾的时候呢，天山山上面都是雪。
The time that the pastor travel is about end of May, and there's this mountain was still covered by snow.
那么就是，然后你向右边看的时候
，You look at the right.
就是世界最最听说世界最不好搞的一个沙漠。
You see a desert is a very difficult to tackle.
那么那个沙漠叫什么名字呢
？You know the name of this desert?
啊，塔里卡马。
塔里
马干。
塔里马干。
塔里马干，我是中英文的，你中文看你怎么翻译哈。啊啊。塔克萨马根 ，OK， 那个是世界在他们分析，这个沙漠上来讲呢，是一个最难、最困难的一个沙漠。
People say this is the most difficult desert.
沙漠，我可以明白这个最困难沙漠的原因是什么。
A pastor can understand why he says so.
第一呢，它这个白天跟晚上的这个温度可以相差到，就是说你可以白天是100度。那晚上就到了，结冰一些的，可以说这个温度差很远很远。
Oh, because the temperature varies a lot between day and night. The day can go up to 100 degrees, and the evening can go down to the freezing point.
第二呢，是因为这个沙漠里面这个绿洲很少。
There's not many oases in this desert.
所以很多的人呢，如果不够水的话，他一般走的时候呢，就不回去那个乡村。
Because a lot of people they couldn't bring enough water, so they could not go back to the village they start out.
那么那个乡村呢，不久之后跟沙盖起来了，就没有了，就好像没有人住过那样。
Oh, so the villages will become deserted and covered by sand.
所以呢，这个西游记的时候是向着天山的旁边走。
So in this book, The Journey to the West, the monk traveled along the Tensan Mountain.
那么就到了印度。
When he got into India,
然后回来的时候呢
and he later came back to China.
那么他就沿着昆仑山走
and he went through another route. It's around the Kunlun Mountain.
那昆仑山跟天山就是在沙漠的一北一南
The Kunlun and Tensan are situated in the north and the west and the south part of of that desert.
所以呢，所有的这个丝绸之路的路，如果你不是向北走，你就向南走。
So all the roads that go, they call the Silk Road, you can either take the northern route or the southern route.
但是北走的路呢，不会，就是说比较上多一点人愿。
The northern route actually is more, is a better route.
因为天山本身呢，不是说那么高。
Because Tensan Mountain is not that tall.
而且呢，山与山之间有一些山谷可以过去的。
And there's lots of valley that you can easily travel on.
那昆仑山下面是比较近这个 Tibetan 的 plateau 平原。
The Kunlun Mountain is very close to the plateaus in the Tibet.
然后他一出去的时候呢，另外一个山不在中国的。
There's then after they left Tibet, they will meet another desert.
那我看看我这本世界地图。
Check on this world atlas.
那一出去的时候。哇，那个山就是跟这个西藏的是差不多的。
So the actually when you pass when you get out from Tibet, you will see a desert as 跟西藏的山呢、啊。
就是跟西藏那个，因为西藏都很高嘛，高原山区。
So the land actually as high as the plateaus in Tibet.
那么在历史里面记载，差不多到了这个就是西藏这个唐僧取经回来到西安建了一个佛庙叫做 Great Goose Pagoda 这个中文怎么翻译
大雁塔
雁还是
大雁燕子
雁
不是雁那个
鹅
雁不是那个小雁不是 spiral
OK 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 Yeah 我不知道我这个没去过所以我不知道它的中文叫什么名字
是我去过大雁塔、
哦、大雁塔
对
那么唐僧回来的时候他带了600份这个佛教的经典放在这个庙里面
This monk came back to China and built a temple and he brought back 600 Buddha's scriptures
Yeah 然后呢就是根据历史的记载到公元742年西安这个城市大概有200万人口
According to history, in the year 742, there are about 2 million people lived in Siam.
那么到了公元754年的时候呢，那个城里面大概有5000个就是外国的人住在那一边。
In 554, according to record, the Siam has about 5,000 foreigners.
这表明了西安就是在因为丝绸之路的缘故，在公元就是第一世纪，就是公元大概就是第八世纪的时候，就已经有这么多，就是知名度已经这么高了。
So you can see in the 8th century, Xi'an was a very popular city.
那么这条路上面呢，又来了另外一批的这个宗教信仰的人。
Actually, there another group of religious leader travel on this road.
那么就是公元432年的景教来到中国。
That is in the year 432, the Nestorian came to China. It's a group of Christians.
所以他们在600多年的时候就在西安来就是立住。
And they also settled down in Xi'an in 638.
那么回教也透过这一条路也开始有很多的影响。
Muslims also, the Islam also have used this road a lot.
那特别是成吉思汗的时候。
Especially around the time of Kasas.
那么就是很多回教徒都进到叫中国的西部。
So a lot of Muslims they went and settled down in the western part of China.
那么在记录上面说，中国当时最比较流行的宗教是道教。
Around that time, the most popular religion is the Taoism in China.
但是那一条路越不安全，所以呢，开始不多，就是不是那么多人用了。
Later, this road became not that secure, so less and less people traveled.
所以差不多有三个王朝在中国的时候，这个中国跟西方很少通过这一条路做生意跟交往。
So for three dynasties in China, there has a very little communication and or trade with the West.
那么在中国历史上郑和七下南洋远到印度中东东非，这个是当时比较出名的一个故事，一件事件。
In Ming Dynasty, there is an official called 郑和。 He traveled to the south for 7 times, and he traveled as far as to India, the Middle East, and the Eastern Africa.
那么就是到了十八世纪的时候，这条路又开始很就是很忙碌了。
And then around the 18th century, this road became busy again.
因为西方的人又开始回到这条路上来找一些跟文化、跟古就是考古方面有关系的东西。
The West became interested in about Eastern culture and archaeology, and they traveled back on this road.
那么他们很多人就远上这条路。
So a lot of people traveled on this road.
那么到现在呢，这一条路呢，当然不是完全走这一条路，但是因为这条路的缘故，现在有很多的发展。
In present time, even though we do not travel on the same route, but the Silk Road has got a good, great development.
一出乌鲁木齐向东走的时候，你会发现一大片的地，就是那个风的这个能源哈，用风。风吹的那个叫什么？
风车
就是那一种，就像现在的德州或者是一些地方，我们美国也很多哈。
So start out from Urumqi when you went to the west, you will see a large piece of land with lots of energy efficient windmills that generate energy.
那新疆呢？因为它有就是说有一个很大的沙漠，那么另外一个沙漠在东边。就是戈壁沙漠，那么呢，当中发现了不少的石油。
Because Xinjiang situated between two big deserts, so there are a lot of we call the petroleum reserves.
那么很出名的这个国际的这个火车铁路，大家知道哈
？Trans-Siberia.
就是
the very famous railroad route.
那么你现在可以从中国上火车就到了荷兰去了。
You can travel start on China and you can travel to Europe.
它有两个 branch, 一个是上那个西伯利亚。
One branches go to Siberia.
另外一个就是朝着苏联这个方向一直向着这个西部走了。
So the other branches from starting from Russia and went to the and go to the west.
所以呢，这个丝绸之路呢，现在当然开始用火车、用飞机、用其他的方式有一些改变，但是原则上那个路上呢，很多地方都是有很多历史的一个价值。
Even though today we travel on this road through different means, like by air or by train, but this road still have a significance.
我们就按照我的讲义，我下一个就稍微提一提关于这个把福音传回耶路撒冷的事情。
If you look at the handout, the next one we'll talk about is back to Jerusalem movement.
那么在公元1940年代的时候，在中国大陆就发生了很重要的事情。
In the 1940s, there's something special happened in China.
在政治上是开始很不稳定。
Politically speaking, it's getting very unstable.
但是呢，圣灵工作也很明显。
We can see very clear work of the Holy Spirit.
那么当时就是差不多时间，但是在不同地点，有两批人很受就是这个神自己意象的一个感动跟带领。
At that time, at two different places and two different groups received a revelation, and the conviction of the Spirit.
那么在我写在这边的时候。第一个是就是传遍福音团。
The first one is the preach the gospel group.
传遍福音团呢，就是戴德森先生的孙子当时是做一个神学院的院长。
This team is started out at a seminary run by a grandson of Hudson Taylor.
那么这个。不知道是 grandson 还是 grand grandson， 不过就是最少是第二代、第三代了。OK， 他们的神学院就在那个凤翔。
This seminary was in 凤翔。
你们中国大陆比我熟了哈，所以你们知道在哪里。我只是在地图上看到了。OK， 当时呢，就是团长是中国人，是一个姓马的。
The team leader was a Chinese, and he was a brother Ma.
Ma 牧师，
神
学院的副院长。那么他们就有一个意向说，就西北七省，西域七国，传就是福音建教会，直到耶路撒冷。
That they were going to preach the gospel and build the churches in the seven provinces in the northeast part of China, or also in the seven countries in the north, in the west,
okay,
until they will go back to Jerusalem.
七省是那几个七省？
Do you know which seven provinces?
啊，这边有写了哈。就讲到新疆、青海、甘肃、宁夏、蒙古、西藏、西康，有没有人会熟悉这个名字？我不熟悉。
以前听过。
OK, 好，谢谢。那么他这里主要就是讲说这个西藏的东边跟四川的西部。那 Miu 是老家在四川，所以他知道。
So these seven provinces in China.
OK, 那么七个国家呢？前面的都一样，但是后面的中亚呢，现在有一个就名称不大一样哈，有阿富汗、巴基斯坦、伊朗、伊拉克、叙利亚、土耳其。那么跟现今的中亚，那么现在我就说中亚有五个国家。
And seven countries include Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, and also the Middle East countries.
那你看这些七个省跟七个国哈，你想一想，主要的人的信仰是什么
？Think about these people in these seven provinces and seven countries. What kind of religion do they have?
基本上就回教徒。
They are mostly Muslims.
所以如果要把福音从中国传到耶路撒冷，那么就是说我们想避开回教徒的话，其实我们是没有路可以走了。
So if you want to preach the gospel back to Jerusalem, there's no way we can escape not preaching the gospel to the Muslims.
那么另外一个当时在山东省的一个就是布道团叫西北灵工团。
There's another group started in Shandong, they call the Northwest Gospel team.
那么这个家庭，耶稣家庭在山东，他们开始在1920年代。
This team started by a group called the Jesus Family. They are founded in the year 1920s.
在上个世纪的40年代的时候，他们也得到同样的意象。
In the 40s, they also received similar vision.
那么他们的口号是牺牲、放弃、贫穷、受苦、至死忠心。
And the slogans are sacrifice and denial.Poverty, suffering, and faith until death.
所以呢，我刚刚读到这个分享见证呢，你们等一下如果有兴趣的话，这一期的中国心。
There are several testimony from this magazine.
加州有一个教会办了丝绸之路的短宣队。
And this is a church in California. They have a short-term mission trip to the Silk Road.
对，他们就去了一趟。这两个队的人走的那条路最后一段路。
And they travel on the last section of the trip that these two groups of people have been traveled before.
就看这一些人在最后一段路里面所建的教会。
And this, when they visit those churches, that these two teams set up.
当然，这一段路主要在新疆。
This part of the road, the trip is basically in Xinjiang.
我一直以为这个两个队现在只剩下一个，就是何恩正姐妹，还在那个喀什。
I thought these two team actually only have one Christian left in that area. There's a sister He.
但是我从这边读，我发现呢，有两位还活着，九十几岁了。
Actually, there were two.Christians still living in that area.
但是有一位病就是体弱，所以他们拜访的时间他一直在床上睡，没有醒起来，所以没有机会见面跟讲话。
But one of them was very old. So he was in his 90s and he was very weak and he was slept all the time, so they could not pay a visit.
实际上两位都是姐妹。
Both of them were sisters.
对，姐妹是比较耐得起苦的。
You know the sisters are stronger and they can suffer.
No, 这个是一个
endure suffering.
这个是一个很可能的一个模式，我们教会可以思想。如果我们要做丝绸之路的一个短宣的话
，That was a good model that we can follow if we also get on this Silk Road trip.
但是他们这些人呢，就是一去就不回来了。
But these people usually they went to Xinjiang to the west and never go back.
那么这些的老的宣教师在他们住的地方写了新疆十架路新店惦念的店新店二十苦我读了很受感动。
They wrote a lot of poems that's very touching.
那么他们讲到有二十种的苦他们吃了。
They mentioned about 20 different types of suffering that they have endured.
但是他们到现在都不肯放弃，就是说坚持要传福音。
But even until now, they would never want to give up. They insist on preaching the gospel.
所以如果我们明年去的话，还可能会见到进出的一两个人。
Maybe if we go next year, we can still see and visit these people.
那如果迟一点，可能没机会了。
If later we may not have the chance.
那么，我们提到说得到回教徒呢
？We mentioned about in order to gain the Muslims.
那么在这里提到就是说，在我的第二页那边提到就是说，丝绸之路在那一边呢，如果一直走到非洲北非或者是欧洲的东部的话。大概有五十几个国家。
On this road, if you travel from the east to the Middle East and to the northern Africa and the eastern Europe, you will see about 50 plus countries.
那回教的国家有39个。
Among them, 39 are Muslim countries.
那这是我从一本书上面就是算出来，其实不是说一定算出来，不过就是说你可能会问说包括什么国家。
You may ask what are these countries, and Pastor get this number from a book.
总之这里的重点就是说回教是主要的。
The major point here is that Muslim is a major religion in this area.
那么所以我们如果要走这条路的话，佛教、回教几乎是不能够避免。
So if you want to travel on this road, that you would certainly will encounter the Muslims and the Buddhist.
当然我们如果最后到了这耶路撒冷或者到了也就是以色列的话犹太教又是其中一个要面对的。
So also if you go back to travel back to Jerusalem, the Judaism is also one of the religion we need to encounter.
所以这里提到说 我就 不多讲这个因为这个要另外讲就是谁是回教徒。
I won't touch too much on the second part. It's about who are Muslim because we need another session on this.
那谁是回教徒呢？我们中国人可能稍微可以明白一下。
For the Chinese, maybe we need to learn, we need to know who are the Muslims.
因为有的时候，跟我们自己中国人同胞传福音的时候，他们会总是感觉，我们是中国人。
Because when you preach the gospel to the Chinese, they always say we are Chinese.
意思就是说这个信耶稣嘛不是中国人的
So that means the Christianity is not Chinese
那信耶稣这耶稣 是西方人的
China, Jesus is a foreigner
所以有一点感觉就是如果我信了耶稣我怎么做中国人呢
That means the Christianity is a foreign religion So if I believe in Christ that I cannot be a Chinese
那回教徒对这个非常的敏感
Muslims are also very sensitive to this.
因为他们不是完全就不知道耶稣的。
Because they also know about Jesus.
他们也知道圣经的。
They also learn the Bible.
那么他们对于圣经当中，特别是旧约里面的一些的故事呢，不陌生的。
Actually, they're familiar with the Bible story, especially in the Old Testament.
那么为什么他们会那么困难信耶稣呢
？But what kind of Why they're so difficult for them to come to Christ?
那么我就是说，我前几个星期在讲台上跟大家提一提这个 Hamas 一个恐怖分子组织的里面的领袖的儿子信了耶稣。
Several weeks ago in the Chinese service, I mentioned about a group called Hamas, and one of the son of the leaders came to Christ.
那么这个我们的美国的电视台 Fox 电视台。一个叫 Hunter 的就访问他。
A reporter from the Fox TV station, he had an interview with this person.
就问他说：“你回教徒信耶稣，你最大的困难是什么
？”What is the biggest difficulty that for you to convert into Christianity?
他其中讲了一句话，我就很深感受。
Actually, I'm very touched by his answer.
他说：“从今以后，我不能叫我爸爸爸爸。
”From now on, I cannot call my dad dad.
到底是什么意思呢
？What does this mean？
这个回教的神成为他的爸爸。
Because the God in the Muslim religion is his father。
那你放弃你爸爸的话呢？这个是很没有，就是说从孝敬的角度，从各方面角度很难办得到的。
So if you give up your father's belief, it is not easily accepted in the area.
我们中国人也有这样的困难，就是说，如果家里面是拜祖宗、拜神的，那么现在信了耶稣，那么连跟这个祖宗的神像叩一个头都不可以。
Because the same thing as to our Chinese, because if Chinese became a Christian, that he not participate in the ancestor worship.
这是很困难的一件事情。
It's very difficult.
因为回教本身的信仰、宗教文化是全部连在一起的。
Because the Christian faith and the Muslim faith are 什么呢 ？The Muslim faith and the family are related.
Yeah, 他们就是很不容易分出来什么是信仰，什么是文化。
It's very difficult for them to differentiate between religion and culture.
所以呢，如果我们想说有短宣队去的话，主要是看我们要做什么。
So if we send our short-term mission trips, we have to see what we need to work on.
如果我们想有一些分享见证，或者说想做一点就服事的工作的机会的话，我们就需要有一定的训练。
Because we want to share the gospel or to be witness for Christ, we have to receive some training.
那么这个训练本身呢，就是不是那么难，但是不是那么容易上手。
These trainings are not that difficult, but it's not easy to hold.
就基本上认识回教。
That is basically is to understand Muslims.
然后从回教的这个角度，然后开始培养我们的心智，怎么去明白他们，怎么把福音传给他们。
And also to train us how to understand the Islamic belief and how to preach the gospel to them.
然后建立桥梁。
And how to build a bridge.
所以这个就是如果需要的话，我们就需要去展开这些的训练。
So if we need it, we need to have this kind of training.
那最后的时候呢，我们就提一提说，我们有这样的祷告，不是有很什么具体的决定。
Last, I want to tell you that we have to. We recently were praying about this, and we haven't made any decision yet.
那么拆船委员，我们有谈说，如果可能的话，我们希望有一个短宣队。
The mission committee have discussed about.Sending out a short-term mission trip to this road.
那么我们现在不能够说去什么地方。
Right now, I cannot tell you where we will go.
而不能够说什么时候去。
And I even tell you when we will go.
但是呢，如果有兴趣的话，你说我不一定会去，但是我很有兴趣在这一方面来想多知道，甚至呢也有可能会去。那么，请大家就在这个表格上填一填你的名字。
For those who may be interested, even though you may not be able to go, but if you are interested, you can sign up on this sheet.
那么你签了名字之后呢，就有几件事情你要有尾声了。
After you sign your name, you have to make the following commitments.
第一呢，就是我们不时会集合一下，你要出席的。
First, we may meet occasionally, and so you have to attend these meetings.
第二呢，我很快会出一个 list 有功课的，你自己选择你要做哪一个功课。
And also, I give you a list, and then you have to pick a homework that you have to work on.
那所有的功课呢，都预备我们如果上这个宣教就走这个短宣路的话，我们是有准备好的。
So all these homeworks are prepare you to get on this trip.
那么就看是什么人可能可以去，我们才谈说什么时间大家觉得比较适合。
So see who will be interested in going, then we can decide on what is the best time for us to go.
那么也要看可能去的人是怎样的人，然后我们才可以决定我们去的这个重点侍奉啊，还是意向的这个带导啊，各方面看那个重点在什么地方。
Depends on the team members, then we can decide what kind of trip we're taking. Is a vision trip or it will be a ministry serving trip?
那么这个可能性是有几方面的。
So it can be a different ways to.
因为这个路途不近，所以通常我们就想说，这个时间大概十天两个星期。
Since it's the trip took a long time, so we probably the whole trip would take about two weeks, about or 10 days.
所以呢，这个是主要就是说跟大家来分享一下。
So that's what we're gonna share with you today.
那么当然如果你们就是说我想去的话。功课其中之一就是要看一些书，我就列了一些出来。
Actually, the one of the homeworks is to read some books that the pastor already listed in the handout.
那么这个十个呢，基本上是从基督徒的角度写的东西。
These 10 books are mostly written from a Christian perspective.
那第六呢，就是像一个Islam 的 concordance， 就是不是 concordance， 是那个。像encyclopedia 就是百科全书里面什么都有。
On the sixth, the website is actually like an encyclopedia about Islam.
所以呢，里面有很多很多的不同的文章。
There are lots of articles on this website.
是一位姓司头的司的弟兄，他在主导中文的。Okay. 那么这个是我要提出来主要的一些的分享。
Yeah, this is what I want to share with you today.
那么我们现在看一看这个关于回教那个video， 才几分钟哈。
Next, we're going to watch a video about Islam.
这个就在这个月拍的。
This film was made in this month.
Thank you.
大家看了之后有什么感受。
I know what you think about this film.
我常常讲说要鼓励人向回教徒传福音。
I always encourage people to preach to the Muslims.
当看到他们这么多人这么热忱，我心里面想，怎么开始，怎么做呢？
I don't know how to start when you see there are so many of them and they're so devoted to their religion.
从这个短短的几分钟里面来看，回教徒对他们的神的认真比基督徒强得多了。
From this short film, you can see the Muslims, the understanding of their God is 强。
就是很强 ，strong.
Strong, okay. It's at a stronger.Understanding and commitment to their Lord.
他们去回教堂没有什么太多的益处。
Actually, there are not many benefit they receive. They go to the mosque.
基本上就去祷告去敬拜。
Actually, they go there just to worship and pray.
十万人，一百万人。
100,000, a million.
他们就这样的来敬拜。
They just gather and worship.
每一天三次到五次的这一种呢，就是祷告。
Every day they pray for 3 or 5 times.
那么有的时候我们想说，如果我们要向他们传福音，我就说，如果靠我们自己的话，根本就没办法做什么。
A lot of times I think if we want to preach the gospel to them.It's just they rely on ourselves. We can do nothing.
有的时候，我们宣教士们说，我现在已经有两个、三个回教徒的朋友，我们都为他们高兴。
And when the missionaries say they have 2 or 3 Muslim friends, we're very happy for them.
有的人做了几年，带了一个、两个信耶稣，我们感谢神。
And we give thanks to the Lord if they take help 1 or 2 Muslims to be Christians.
但是还有那么多那么多，什么时候他们才有机会信耶稣呢？
But there are so many Muslims, so how long will it take for them become to know Christ?
我对于神的认识是这样。
My understanding of God is,
神没有难成的事情。
In God, there's nothing impossible.
这些人还没有认识，是因为神的子民还没有顺服。
These people haven't come to Christ because the children of God hasn't been.Obedient, submitted to God.
因为如果我们顺服的话，神一动工，没有难成的事情。
If we obey and submit to God, and God start His work, and there's nothing impossible.
那么愿意的人在什么地方？
So where are the people that are willing to do this?
我们用几分钟时间祷告，就结束今天下午。
And we spend the following few minutes in prayers.
所以请大家为在中国在世界各地的回教徒祷告，也为我们自己。说问神说神你要我做什么
So we spend a few minutes to pray to God that there are so many Muslims how can we preach the gospel to them and also ask God to tell you what you need to do
那如果你祷告的时候你感觉到神说好啊你就先在丝绸之路上面先走一走看一看看神怎么带领
So if during your prayer God asks you to go on this short term mission trip to the Silk Road
那你自己就回应神
Will you please respond to God's calling?
每个人都为自己祷告，为刚才我提出的祷告。
Everyone pray for yourself and also pray for the items I just list.
那么最后我会做结束祷告。
And Reverend Wong will conclude.
每个人。